Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones.
Beauties, it's so great to see all of you. And we have some new members of our community. It's great to have you in the circle. So today I'm opening up the space to celebrate my birthday. Thank you for your warm birthday wishes, as well as celebrate the full moon. And I am gifting all of you a preview of the Ephesus experience, talking about this very powerful power place at the bridge between East and West, as well as answer your questions regarding the Ephesus program. And I'm excited to also guide you on a journey, a meditation that is an activator, a power place activator for all of you. So it's great to have you in the space. We will be gathering for about an hour. Sometimes my gatherings go a little bit over. Feel free to just, if you do have a time limit today, to just pop in a note in the chat that you do need to, that you need to go. It's relaxed today. It's a party. So I'm cool with people flowing in and out. That said, I do recommend you stay until the end to fully benefit from all of the guidance and this powerful container, as well as this meditation that I will guide you on towards the end of today's session. I'm just waiting if there are any more streaming through in the moment. And to be respectful of your time, then let's begin. So let's do a dance. Did you hear the music in the introduction? No. Okay. So this is something to do with the Zoom, I think, speakers and the streaming. So let's do some stretches and do some spontaneous movements right now. So I'm doing some stretching with my spine, honoring our beautiful feminine, our beautiful bodies, the bodies that carry our womb. Even if you don't have a womb right now, it's okay. The etheric part of your womb still exists. Your womb, your beauty, your hips, your breasts. Ah. Oh. Your hair, your lips, your eyes, your spine, loving your body, celebrating your body, being curious about your body. Ah, celebrating how connected we are to the moon, to the cosmos, to this earth. Ah, maybe making some exhales. Ah, allowing your voice come from the depths of your belly, the depths of your womb, the depths of your sacral. Ah, your lungs, your diaphragm. Oh. Ah. Beautiful. And taking a few moments to put one hand on your womb and one hand on your heart, closing your eyes, being in stillness, and coming into this now moment in circle together. Beautiful. When you're ready, slowly coming back to a seating position, seated position. Ah. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am an architect licensed in Turkey, trained in Canada and different parts of the globe when I was doing my training at various architecture offices. I am the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting edge vessel of courses and programs for women architects and designers and space healers as well as property owners that helps them to birth their dream sanctuaries. It's a system to birth their dream sanctuaries through a new modality that bridges spirit with architecture. And for you know, many years, although I was successfully practicing architecture in the conventional sense, in the conventional world, I could hear something stirring within me that was urging me, it was a voice from nature, the nature spirits from Mother Gaia, urging me, encouraging me to bring spirit back to the act of practicing architecture, and to give voice to the nature spirits, to give voice to the spirit of the land, and weave this voice in the way we practice design. It has been forgotten about. This world has been in hiding for so long, and the systems that were put in place, you know, for you could say a few hundred years now, really were designed to keep the spirit world behind the veil. And this is, you know, it is what it is. It's part of the unfoldment of humanity. We needed to go into the dark. We needed to be divorced from this world in order to gain our sense of discernment, our thinking powers, and also to forget. There was, you know, some are negative, some are positive aspects of this. So that's a whole 1 hour talked if we were to go deeper into that. And I know some of you are very passionate about this topic. I can feel your hearts thumping and your skin getting shivers, and that you are moved already, like I am right now as I speak with you about this. And so it was time. It was time for me to take the big step, the big leap, and quit my job in conventional practice, even though I was working with actually at the time some pretty great people. It was like, no, even though they're great people, even though this is that, it's time, Aisha, for you to pave a new way. And so I listened to the being that is the Sacred Blueprint that wanted to speak through me. Not that this is a necessarily like one being that I'm connecting with and that I only have access to. This is not what I mean. It just means it's this impulse that we are all feeling. High chances, all of you women, if you're here and you're, you know, you resonate with this, high chances you are feeling it too, that it is time to bring this impulse of weaving spirit, beauty, the feminine, the divine feminine, into the act of creating our buildings, our communities, our gardens, the cities of the future. And I have developed this system, and for the past few years have been guiding my clients who are, land stewards, visionary leaders, property owners, whether it be their own home sanctuary that they want to turn into a healing temple, to, larger scale visions for sovereign communities, sovereign nations. So I'm a big vision thinker. This is me, and but I love to bring that essence into every single project I work on, even if it's like some details in my own home that I'm crafting in spaces. So this is me, this is my story, and now I am mentoring women architects and designers on how they can create their own modality, their own way based on their own intuitive capacities, their unique signature energies, and how they can start to build the new earth by bridging spirit with architecture. For me, the spirit is very much the feminine, right? Spirit, form, form, masculine, spirit. She dances, right? But we know from the yin and the yang that within form, there is the feminine, within spirit, there is the masculine. So this is not a gathering that, or the work that I do is by no means wanting to exclude men, but I have chosen to work in particular with women architects and designers, space healers, geomancers even, who with women, because it just feels good. It feels right for me. There's no intellectual reason for it. In the future, perhaps I will work partner with men. So I just want to be clear about that this is not like a kind of woman's cult where I'm, excluding men out of the picture, and that we're, doing all these, rituals, feminine rituals, even though I value them. It's just it's I find that I've been that's my expertise. It's my niche to support women. I can speak the language because I am a woman. All right. So today, I'm going to share a little bit about Ephesus, this power place, and read you an excerpt from a book. On the mysteries. I'll share more about it. I'm going to give you a preview of the VIP retreat in Ephesus. And I am also going to open up the space for questions regarding Ephesus, regarding this VIP retreat. Welcome, welcome, Özgür. And so, in terms of the questions, I ask that you hold your questions until the end. When I do open up the space, I have so much I want to share with you today. And again, we're already 13 minutes in, so I'll be moving quickly. So if you do have something that you want to share, like, oh, I have to just express what I'm feeling right now, or I have a question and you don't want to forget about it, feel free to add that in the chat below. The chat should be open. I think I already have it open on the side. Yeah. Okay, great. It's working. Beautiful. So, and then at the end, I'm going to guide you through a power place activation. And I am curious what will emerge within this unique co-creative container. Due to time, normally in my group programs, I do take quite a bit of care and attention and time that everyone speaks their voice and it says their name out loud, introduces who they are, what they do. But because we don't have that much time, I'm not going to do that this time. Please do introduce yourselves in the chat so that we know where everyone is from. We have people coming in from different parts of the world, so that really excites me. It just makes me so happy to bring women in. So please feel free to share what you do, where you're from. As you share, women, we are weaving a web of light. we are weaving a web of these ancient temple builders of the future. And I, this is a movement that I'm building, and I've got lots of ideas for what this is all going to turn into in the next phases of my creations and your creations, and how we can all work together in the future. So this is like a seed planting that we're doing right now, coming into this space and weaving this web of light. So Ephesus, brief introduction. I'm going to share some images just so that you get a feel of where we are located in Ephesus in terms of where we are in the world. Just hold on. I'm going to do a full screen and share that. Full screen. Can everyone see the map that shows Ephesus, Athens, Rome? Yeah, beautiful. Good. So Ephesus is in Turkey. The previous name of Turkey was Turkey. That's the real name as we say it as Turkish people, Turkey. And Ephesus is close to the main city, the main port city of Izmir. And as you can see, the Greek islands are all in between Turkey, Ephesus, and Athens, Corinth. So that's where we are. If anybody wants is curious about where Ephesus is located, it's not far away from where I live. Currently, I'm in Canada at my mother's home. You see my mother's paintings in the back here. Normally, I live in Izmir, which is only about an hour and a half drive to Ephesus. Let's see. What I want to do is share. This is the map of the ancient city. I'm not going to be talking too much about history. That's not my style. And what I'm more interested in is for all of you to be connecting to the inner landscape when you do join me. Today, you'll get a taste of it. This city, this ancient site is as old as 6,000 years before the birth of Christ, maybe older, probably even older. That's my sense. It's very old. It's very primal. And the first kind of Greek, ancient Greek, let's say inhabitants or, you know, settlements were founded around the 10th century before Christ. And this place was a huge, huge center for the arts, philosophy, the mystery, spiritual wisdom. I think at its height, it was about 300,000 people who lived there at its height. And many cultures and people visited there. It really was a melting pot of cultures and people coming in from the east, from the west, and meeting there. And at its heart was the temple Artemis. And the temple you can see here, let me just, is here outside of the main thoroughfare, the main city. You could see there's a sacred way here connecting to the temple. And there used to be water all along here. The women who have joined the retreat, there's, I believe one person here has joined. Yes, Claudelet. Maybe later you'd share some of your experiences if you're open to it briefly. There was water here, and the heart and the essence of the spirit of this place was very much the goddess of Artemis. The goddess Artemis. And she was different than the traditional, not the traditional, that's not a correct word, than the different Artemis, which is the huntress. You see her with her bow and arrow and her, her, you know, a deer often would be a symbol for her. The Artemis of Ephesus is kind of like this merging of Cybele, Sybil, and more. The energy of the bee is there a lot, like the bug, the bee. And she is depicted often with, you could say, some people saw it as many breasts. Some people would say as many like scrotums, like sacks, male sacks. Some people would depict it like that. I'm not showing you an image of her. I mean, if you're curious, you can always research online. I don't want to show too much imagery because meeting the goddess there is what you need to do to really fully connect with her. She's a force of creation and so much more. And so she was very much at the heart, and the festivals and the traditions were all, the festivals were centered around her at the height of the Hellenistic period. It started to shift when the Romans took over about, was it 160, 200, 160 before Christ, right? Before the death of Christ. And they started to overlay their egos, right? Various, temples dedicated to Hadrian, or various emperors, right? And Artemis was kind of put onto the side, and they would just, they would make some temples to honor her, but it was really for political gain, because they wanted to make the local people happy, the local pagans, you could say, or the Greeks. So that's just a general overview. And so right now the temple is, it was one of the seven wonders of the world, a very large temple when it was complete. It started out small, and it's exciting to show the map when we go there to see how it expanded over time. And now it has been forgotten about. She has been lost. And part of what I see we are all doing, women, is putting her back together again, but not in the name of going back to ancient times, but this is in the name of the future. And how we do that is very contemporary, in my view. How we do that is not to bring the ancient Greek columns back, right? And replicate that kind of architecture, even, right? But to do something totally new, inspired by the life force that is emanating from this place, which is very interesting. And in my observation and intuition, something new is emerging there, which was rooted in the primal beginnings there. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from, and tune in to allow this place, this picture to work you, feel into it. I'm going to read you an excerpt from the book The Mysteries by Ita Wegman. Ita Wegman was an anthroposophic doctor, and she worked with Rudolf Steiner. She was very much with him during his dying days, and they worked very closely together. And there's a book called The Mysteries. You can purchase it, where she is lecturing on the mysteries. And she's been to Ephesus. She did quite a bit of traveling. I think she's been to India as well. And she would, she's an amazing healer and doctor. So, without needing to know everything, what everything means, because I still don't know what everything means, feel into these words. Allow them to work you. Notice what comes forward for you when I read them. Notice what is not so interesting. and just allow them to work you. There's also some good information here too. In the old Oriental mysteries, the gods themselves appeared and they gave what heavenly treasures they had to bestow on mankind through the priests, sages, and initiates. The gods themselves descended into the very substances, thereby determining the priest's sacrificial rites and prayers. The human being did not feel himself to be isolated, but really united with the cosmos, united with the sun, moon, Saturn, and the other planets. And within the world of nature, he beheld the spiritual world. Can you see my screen? The picture? Okay. The photo of Ephesus. Yeah, good. Okay, thank you. So I'll repeat the last one. The human being did not feel himself to be isolated, but really united with the cosmos, united with the sun, moon, Saturn, and the other planets. And within the world of nature, he beheld the spiritual world. The ceremonies and sacrificial services accorded with the seasons and the course of the stars. But in the mysteries, it was only at certain times and under specific star constellations that the gods were able to reveal themselves. In the Greek or newer mysteries, it was different. Here, the gods no longer descended, but people had to raise themselves up towards them. The human being only saw an image of the gods, only an image of the gods. But if he were sufficiently mature, he could reach these divine images within the mysteries, independently of the seasons and star constellations, simply by enacting certain exercises of soul and sacrificial rites. The ceremonies were ordered according to the insight of priests. Man felt himself more united with the earth and was initiated into the earth mysteries. Between these old and new mysteries lie the half-old and half-new mysteries. Between these old and new mysteries lie the half-old and the half-new mysteries. Here, the gods sent their forces into the mystery centers, and human beings could find these forces. The ceremonies were filled with magic words recited by the priests. To these mysteries belongs the mystery center of Ephesus. Here, the gods lost the possibility of coming down, and it was their forces that worked in the mysteries. So they lost the possibility of coming down, and it was their forces that worked in the mysteries. Magical words sounded forth in the ceremonies. The pupils were initiated into the secrets of the moon, as they were also in the old mysteries. These are secrets connected with man and leading to a knowledge of the human ether body. The pupil of the mysteries was taught that as man descends from a pre-earthly existence into an earthly one, his ether body is formed out from the forces of the moon, into which the forces of Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, and Saturn have in turn been working. He was further taught that what must be held away so that the forming of this ether body may not be disturbed, originates from the sun. I'll repeat that. He was further taught that what must be held away so that the forming of his ether body may not be disturbed, originates from the sun. From the sun, he was taught, come the forces of beings who have nothing to do with the forming of the human ether body. The forces of the sun were related only to the ego and astral body. Their work on the ether body dissolved and destroyed it. The part of the sun forces that works into the ether body must first have passed through the moon and become moonlight. After this had been taught, the candidates for initiation had to come to an experience of the ether realm. They had to become free from the physical body and live in the ether body. After manifold preparations, the pupils at Ephesus were at last led into the center of the temple. Here, at the very midpoint of the temple, stood a statue of the goddess Artemisia, a female figure with many breasts. The goddess Artemisia, who is a being of the moon and bears another name in the spiritual world, stands near Michael and has to rule over the angels of the moon. She was the goddess who poured wisdom into the Ephesian mysteries, a wisdom which was not only lunar wisdom, but was also permeated and strengthened by Michael with solar wisdom. Thus, there arose in Ephesus an all-embracing wisdom of the cosmos, and thereby the temple of Diana or Artemisia had such great significance at that time. The Michael impulses further intensified through the fact that it was the Michael Age, Michael Age, expressed themselves also in the fact that admission to the mysteries was not restricted to the natives of the country. Strangers as well, and women too, could be admitted and initiated, which was not possible in other mystery centers. I will repeat this. The mysteries was not restricted to the natives of the country. Strangers as well, and women too, could be admitted and initiated, which was not possible in other mystery centers. After many preparations, as before mentioned, the pupils were brought into the center of the temple and finally led to concentrate themselves and experience the image of the goddess Artemisia. They could thereby receive the impression of the cosmic life forces which built the human form and could identify themselves with this image. The effect of thus identifying themselves in consciousness with the divine image was that they no longer looked upon the earth and what was on earth, but they felt as it were loosened, free from the human limitations of the skin. They felt connected with the ether realm. They were all together within the moon and were living in the moonlight, but in a moonlight that contained what was living in other planets of our planetary system. The pupil became a light being of the moon and was capable of understanding whatever is happening in the moon sphere surrounding the earth in the ether realm. The temple of Ephesus was set on fire by a criminal hand and completely destroyed by flames. This happened in the year 356 BC. A great and mighty fullness of wisdom had been flowing through its temple spaces, and all these treasures of wisdom were imparted to the cosmic ether, and written into it. While the flames burst forth, while the flames burst forth from the temple. This wisdom, which in ancient times was guarded in the temple sanctuary, has now, through the burning of the temple, been spread out into the cosmic ether and is visible if man has ascended to imagination. I will leave you for a brief moment to in silence. And feel free to journal anything that comes through or simply feel. There's a lot of information here. It can take time. For me, I read it over and over, and there's new things that emerge for me. There's nothing to study here. There's nothing really to know. Well, there is something to know, but I mean, just in terms of accumulating knowledge, just feeling the words. And feel free to share if anything resonates with you in the chat. So this place is a very special place, and a place where not only men, priests, right? And the writing is more old-fashioned. I mean, this is written maybe in, was it? Oh, does anyone remember when Steiner passed away? I don't remember the date, but like early 1900s, I would say she was writing. Yeah, something like this. And so, you know, the wording is, you know, man does this, he does this. I mean, this is just because it's, you know, written back in the day. But what's really beautiful is that this place, both men and women were initiated, and not only natives of the country, but anywhere, like whoever came from different parts of the world. Travelers. So it is very much an international place, and you still feel it when you go to Ephesus. Thank you, Alex. 1940s, the death of Steiner. Yeah. So the why am I bringing women here? That's a good question, right? Why am I bringing people here? How did I start? I returned with my family from living in Canada to Izmir, and I've been studying Rudolf Steiner and healing temple architecture as well. And Ephesus was a place that I've been to when I was a child, and it just started to draw me in. It really started to draw me in. Oh, thanks. Yeah. It felt a little bit late. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. 1925 is more dead on. Yeah. So this place is an incredible opportunity, especially for women who are wanting to experience what a power place feels like. Now, power places exist everywhere. They exist on your street, in your garden, they exist in your home country, everywhere. But there's a certain amplification that occurs at these sacred sites through the sacred architecture there. And I would say that Ephesus is one of the larger scaled power places, right? Like the pyramids, like many other power places in the world. And there's an amplification there. But what one thing that I do notice though is that there's a kind of inverse thing going on. Now, people would be pilgrims, right? They would do their pilgrimages to go there, especially the ones who were involved in studying the mysteries, right? Spiritual wisdom, the priests and the priestesses. And people would go there for healing. There were sacred primal waters there, right? That they could tap, healers, doctors, right? They could tap and be healed. So, but what I'm noticing is that these places now need us to heal them. These places now need us to activate them. Through our remembering of these places. And all of you carry the seed, whether or not you physically go to Ephesus, or whether it's your path is in a different, connected to a different power place in the world. But there's a calling from the land, from Mother Gaia, to come. Now, when I say to be healed, I'm not an advocate of always healing land without asking its permission, or just walking into a temple site and go, you need to be healed. That's not appropriate in my perspective. We still have a lot to learn about these power places. We still have a lot to learn about ourselves, a lot to transform, a lot to purge, a lot to align with. But there's a flip going on. That's what I'm noticing, that the human being, our higher selves, there's something within us that when we come together in circle, has a power to activate these places and in turn activate us, activate the power place within us. And so this is the call that I've been following. And it feels amazing. Feels great. It feels amazing to gather these women at this ancient site, and we have always have an incredible time going there. And yeah, this is in terms of the practical outcomes, for those of you who are perhaps working on developing your own design modality or your own healing modality for places and spaces, developing a new system to create architecture, to create landscape architecture, urban design, even, right? Urban planning. The creative life forces that exist within Ephesus have this incredible capacity to rekindle your creative flow. And a lot has to do with you tapping into your divine feminine in order to do that. The goddess Artemis is an incredible guide for that. And she loves to help you create, as well as help you to lay down. What is no longer supporting you? What is no longer helping you to be the true, abundant, beautiful being that you are? So this could be have to do with money flow, finances, building your business and having a consistent flow, a momentum of clients and projects flowing to you without you efforting. This could be what is this way that works for my signature energy, the way that I tune into the spirit realms, the way that I tap the earth energies of people's properties, of homes, of gardens, right? And how to work with your unique gifts, your unique intuitive gifts. What are they? Maybe some of you are just like, I don't even know what they are, right? To be able to discover them. And it's incredible what this place does when we come with true intent, right? And an intent that involves not usurping or trying to take the energies, rather come in reverence, gratitude, love for this beautiful place, and an openness to receive the wisdom that comes through. I've had experiences with women where it's like, you know, the first couple of days, anger, rebellion, crying, traumas, like not all pretty, pretty, pretty. It's not all like, ooh, like purple and pink light everywhere. No, it can be challenging. It can be challenging. Artemis is a tough one. She's a tough one. And there are a lot of layers there too, in the city. You know, it was invaded many times. There were a lot of deaths, right? There was a lot of murder, trauma, right? And I'm not somebody that really is, you know, we're not really focusing on all of those layers, but there are women who come into the space who can feel all of those layers. And it somehow connects with the layers within them, and they need to purge it. So it's a deep, deep dive, women, this retreat that I lead women on. And but it's so crucial right now that we are stepping into this kind of work together, to really get clear on what our soul's mission is, not for ourselves only, but for the future of humanity, for this earth, this planet Earth, who desperately needs us right now, who desperately needs the beauty, the healing sanctuaries, the cities, the communities that honor nature rather than try to create synthetic environments that somehow replicate her. You know, artificial intelligence is so advanced right now, and very much taking over the architecture practice. There can be some really great benefits from it, so I'm not a black and white kind of person, but there's a danger. There's a danger that we will lose our capacities to tap into the magic that lies within us. And women in particular, through their womb, whether your womb physically exists in your body or not, we have the capacity to tap this imagination realm, like that last sentence in, that I shared with you in the Mysteries book by Ita Wegman. Magic lies within the word imagination. I ma gi na shun, the nation of imagination. So I know you all know this to a certain level. You are all very seasoned in your personal growth and spiritual growth. I can feel it. I know some of you I work with privately, some of you who have joined the Ephesus retreat before. And it's time to speak this forth, women, to speak forth this truth. And there's a lot to do with the larynx. There's a lot to do with the voice in Ephesus connected with Artemis. There's a lot to do with that. That's in my personal journey, and what I have observed in other women. And that this voice also unleashes and activates a sexual, creative life force energy that really supports you to be stepping into this new way of creating and designing and come out of hiding, start speaking your truth. I love all this stuff. For some of you, I don't know if it's a bit getting too like esoteric or not, but it's my passion, my passion. I'd love to open up the space. If there's anything briefly that you want to share about what I just shared with you, if you have any questions regarding it, as well as I want to open up the space for questions regarding the VIP retreat. I have some women who haven't joined, and in the past couple of years, I've collected a series of question and answers, like FAQ, just to share like what logistically, what it looks like to join the retreat. For those of you who don't know, I've opened up the space for an intimate circle of women in October, from October 24th to 28th. I'm going to share the retreat information with you. This is the PDF invitation that you can download. And at the end of that invitation, there is a application form to apply for the retreat if you are really feeling the nudges, hearing the nudges to join. I'm offering an early bird discount until tomorrow, July 22nd. So you've got today and tomorrow to apply to benefit from that discount. And is there anything else? Know that, when you fill out the application, it doesn't mean that you are committing yet, nor does it guarantee you'll be accepted. I'm curating a very, refined constellation of women, and I want to ensure that everyone is the women who join are committed and eager and ready to build the sanctuaries of our future, and are ready to do what it takes. Yeah. So download those if you're interested. And in terms of questions, I'm opening up the space for your specific questions. There we have some women who have already who's someone who's already joining the space, joining the group in October. Yeah. Someone who's already joined a couple times. Khudele, maybe you'd like to share just a little bit, if you're open to it, just a short share of the experience for you at the retreat.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, I've been there now twice, like now last June, I think, and last year, May. Those were two completely different experiences. So I was happy about that. And I have the impression that if you go there, you. It's in a way of you get what is needed at the time, because the two experiences were so different. The first round, I'll call it, was I connected with the joy and the womanhood and the sexual energy, which made a whole difference in my life. And now last year it was more like, or last month was more like coming back to myself. I really got into myself and into my system and being one with universe and with earth in a way. So those are two completely different experiences. And so I guess you get what is needed if you tune in and if you are attracted to it, then yeah. And it's in such a soft way. It's well, for me. I heard other stories, so but for me it's very soft and so it's guiding you in a way. If you're open to it and allow what is coming, then you are guided to what is needed. So and I feel like it's working way long after. It's not all in the moment. You get information, and with the information, it's yeah, it works on longer than expected. So that's very nice. My husband is very happy too.
Yeah.
it's for me, it's kind of life-changing. So.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Pudida. And Pudida is an incredible landscape architect who birthed a new system in our partnership together. She's worked with me privately before as well. And she's birthed what is called Garden Constellations. It's an amazing method where it blends the family constellation system into garden architecture, landscape architecture. She's so talented and just such a voice for the nature spirits, and it's really revolutionary what she's doing. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're really welcome. Absolutely welcome. It's so special to gather on the full moon all together. Okay, sitting, and if you want to lie down, feel free to lie down, be in a comfortable chair. All right, so I invite you all to close your eyes. If closing your eyes doesn't feel comfortable, you know, like in a yoga class, you could kind of gaze softly at a spot on the floor, coming to a place of quiet, allowing the breath to do what it does. Roll in, roll out. Rolling in, rolling out. Breathing in, breathing out. Ah. And as you breathe in and out, I invite you to bring your consciousness to your heart and imagine that there is a flame flickering at the center of your heart. Noticing its qualities as you breathe in and out. And in this moment, I invite you to think of someone or something that you love and kindle your heart flame with love. I'm doing this with you. And as we do this all together, notice how our heart flames shift, change. Does it change in size, color, form? As you feed it with love, you may be receiving messages, you may be hearing things, smelling things. Beautiful. And in this moment, I invite you to breathe your breath. Send your breath all the way down to the center of the earth. And then on your inhale, drawing the nourishing energies from the center of the earth all the way up to your heart flame, allowing it to merge with your heart flame, and then exhaling the earth out. Beautiful. And next, I invite you to connect with the sky, the cosmos above, and bringing your consciousness all the way to the center of the sky above. And then on your next inhale, this time, drawing the breath down through the crown of your head until it reaches the level of your heart, allowing it to merge with the center of your heart. And then exhaling the breath out through your heart space. Getting a sense you are now aligned, connected with earth and sky. And now I invite you to step out of your heart space into a landscape and imagine you are walking, or rather traveling, along a ley line to the ancient city of Ephesus, the power place that is Ephesus. Notice how you are traveling there. It could be on land, it could be on water, it could be in the sky, It could be in a car. And at a certain point, you approach a gateway, a threshold, which delineates the outer edges of the ancient city. You have a sense, a knowing that you have arrived at this power place. Notice the feelings, the perhaps emotions, the tinglings in your body, if there are any, maybe sounds. Noticing the qualities of this place, the qualities of the earth energies here. And at this threshold, you are greeted by your spirit guide. And your spirit guide guides you across the threshold. And you enter into the grounds, the site that is Ephesus. Not to worry if it doesn't look like the typical depictions that you see about this place. Really listen and follow and be open to receiving what is occurring in the moment. You are connecting now with the inner landscape, the inner world of this place. Your guide continues to guide you to a special spot, a special power spot, almost like the heart of the land that is important for you. It may be amongst buildings, it may be on a mountain, it may be in the water, it may be above. It may be below. Listen to where you are being guided. Listen to where your body ends up. As your spirit guide guides you to this place, Artemis, the goddess, notices that you have arrived. She's watching. She's also guiding from a distance, supporting. Perhaps she has some messages for you as well. She is a part of the land here. She's deeply connected with this land. Connected with the temples, the buildings. As you now stand on your own power place, feel your feet connected into the earth. And below your feet, below the earth, notice the stirring of the primal waters below the earth. They know that you have arrived. It's like they have been waiting for you, these sacred primal waters. And as you stand there, you begin to remember who you are. Remember what you came to Earth to do. You remember your mission. You remember the beauty that once was. And you connect with these primal waters. And as you remember, they begin to rise up to the surface of the earth and kiss the soles of your feet. And your body begins to drink up those primal waters. They turn, they spiral, they move, they dance through you. And these primal waters, they are carrying the light. They bring the light up into your heart, into all your molecules, into your womb, your ears, your throat, your hands. Feeling this, these primal waters emerging, rising up, and uniting with your being. As they rise up, the stars in the cosmos shine even brighter. And they begin to connect with this primal water in your body, and they shine down even brighter, sending signals, symbols, information to your heart that is now filled with these primal waters. And in this space of remembering, uniting with these sacred waters, you receive a message illuminating your next steps from your spirit guides, from the essence of water, from the spirit of this place. What is the message that you receive in this moment? The message may come as a gift. It may come as a vision. It may come as words. What is the message that is important for you to receive in this moment? As you stand as a living temple filled with the sacred waters of life on the earth. Giving you a moment to tune in. And as you receive this message, I invite you to give thanks and gratitude to the spirit of the land, the goddess Artemis, your spirit guide, the earth, the sky, the primal waters, giving thanks to this group. And finally, giving thanks to yourself for hearing the call. Enjoying the last moments of being in this temple that you are, connecting with the temple that you are, enlivened by the sacred primal waters. And when you're ready, slowly starting to wiggle your toes, your fingers. Maybe doing a gentle stretch. And slowly opening your eyes.
Thank you for tuning in to the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers, to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, gule gule.